Abortion has been in the news very pride. Do you understand that? All they did is hand them those decisions down to the states. And the states will now make decisions on what they want to do with the issue of abortion. And you know, I'll be honest with you. I saw in Kansas, there was an overwhelming turnout for pro-abortion advocates, and they continued in their state to have that awful, awful decision to continue killing babies. You say, well, do you really believe that? Yes. You know, abortion is the killing of the unborn. It's the shedding of innocent blood, and could there be any more innocence than a baby in a womb? You say, preacher, is it murder? Yes, it's murder. It should not be partaken of by anybody. And it's a terrible thing that we have laws in our country that actually allow it. And in some cases, even promote it. Now, we are going to deal with this serious subject of killing the unborn. You know, I don't like this thing pro-abortion. I think it ought to be called pro-death. Not only are we to come face to face with what God says about this sin, and it is sin, but we must also deal with how God forgives, how he cleanses, and helps those who've committed this atrocity. Now, abortion is a horrible thing. Since 1973, millions upon millions of innocent babies have been killed in America. Now, all those involved in abortion have committed a horrible crime. They committed this crime against God, and they committed that crime against those innocent babies that are unborn. Notice what the Bible says. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 139. Verse 13 through 19. You know, oftentimes people say, well, that's just an unwanted mass or unwanted tissue. No, that is not. That is a baby in that womb. And notice what it says in verse 13 through 19 of Psalm 139. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my what? Mother's womb. Now notice the personal pronouns there. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. You know what the number one killer in America is? It's abortion. By far. You know, in reality, abortion is America's Holocaust. It's what it is. And I believe down the line, civilizations are going to look at this country and say, how in the world could they allow this to happen if Jesus don't come first? Those who proclaim to be pro-choice or pro-abortion, I believe they're simply pro-death, pro-killing of the unborn. And you say, well, you know what? It's legal here. Well, can I say something? Sure I can. I'm the preacher. Just because it's legal down here doesn't make it right in heaven. I mean, there's a lot of things that are legal down here. But it doesn't make it right. And we don't get our standards for right for wrong from what the government says. We get them from God's word. Amen. Now, abortion promotes killing. Abortion is barbaric behavior. You know, I remember when I was a younger believer and I would read through the Bible and it would talk about this God called Molech. You ever read that in the scriptures? And how people would take their children and put them on those burning hands of Molech and offer their children as a sacrifice to that God. And I thought, man, how awful that is. But yet, we're seeing that practice today in the form of abortion. Now, they may not sacrifice it to Molech, but they're sacrificing it to something. Whether it's their career, whether it's money, whether whatever it is, their shapely figure, I have no idea. But they're sacrificing it to something. And it's a crying shame. Now, so many have the idea that a woman has a right to do with her body as she pleases. And so the mother then has a choice whether she wants to have a baby or not. Now, I'm not going to argue that a woman has a right to choose whether or not to have a baby. But that choice should be made before conception and not after. I mean, that's pretty easy. That's pretty simple. Now, abortion promotes child abuse. For after all, if you can abuse them and kill them in the womb, why can't you abuse them outside the womb? And anybody will understand that since the passing of Roe v. Wade, there has been an increase in child abuse in our country. Abortion devalues life. We have an epidemic today of random killings taking place throughout our country. Human life is cheap. You know, if you can kill a baby in the womb, why can't you kill people outside the womb? And you got to wonder, how can these people kill without caring? Without thinking anything about it? Well, would not the killing of the unborn cheapen life? Has not the slaughter of innocents devalued the preciousness of human life? Something has gone terribly wrong in this country. Millions are promoting an action that the Bible clearly says is sinful. You know, it just amazed me, the anger and the intensity and the hatred over this ruling from the Supreme Court recently. I mean, the protests and the people that came out and their attitudes and you know, I couldn't imagine the vileness of these folks. I mean, protesting at the Supreme Court justice's home. And yet our federal government does nothing to protect them. That was against the law, by the way. And who here would actually believe that our Constitution says a woman has a right to an abortion? Our Constitution says a right to life. Uh-oh. That should disqualify it right there. Life, liberty, and the what? Pursuit of happiness. And by the way, those same people that are pro-abortion, those politicians, they're not just interested in taking babies out of the womb. They're interested in taking all your rest of your rights away as well. Who would have thought we'd ever come to this? Something's terribly wrong. Can you imagine? I saw a billboard not too long ago, and there was a litter of 12 puppies or something. And it said, can you imagine what would happen to someone if they killed all these puppies? Could you imagine the outcry? Isn't that crazy? We value animals more than we value human lives. The conscience of our nation has been seared. early on, the general public would be outraged. When I was growing up, this stuff wasn't heard of. There would have been outrage at the practice of abortion. But now the tide has turned. Shame is gone. Just recently, how many read that this teenage girl was out trying to overturn that abortion ruling in Kansas, was going door to door and talking to people, and some woman came out and beat the snot out of her? Now, they always say that that's us that does that stuff. Right? The conservatives. That's one big media lie. But I'm thinking, here's a girl, probably 16, 18 years old, going out door to door trying to protect human life, and she gets attacked. Unbelievable. Something's gone wrong. Listen, you know, when people start taking the lives of babies, it ain't too long before they start turning their attention on the elderly that are no longer useful to society. How many ever heard about the Hemlock Society? Yeah. How many ever heard about Dr. Jack Kevorkian? Yeah. What do you think he's doing? Well, he's not doing anything right now, probably burning, but that was his choice. But you know, when they're already talking about when it's no longer economically feasible for you to live, that you should be gone and you should do humanity a favor and leave this earth. It's all based on economics, not on based on what is right or what is wrong. You can no longer contribute to society. You need to be removed from it. This is the next step. That's why, you know, when we go to socialized medicine, you know, we saw it in England. You know, you get one knee replacement. And if you're getting too old and it's no longer viable, you're no longer worth the cost, you don't get anything else. That's horrible, isn't it? You say, well, what about aborting a baby in the case of rape, incest, or the health of the mother? Well, in the first two cases mentioned, why should the innocent die for the guilty? Why should that baby die? It didn't do anything wrong. And who gets to go just basically free almost? Oh, he might spend a year or two in prison, sometimes maybe 3 to 5, but he gets to go out and he gets to do it again. And that baby is terminated. That's shameful. Why isn't that rapist put to death? You want to solve a lot of these sexual crimes, just put those bums to death. Simple. Oftentimes I watch the news and I get a little frustrated. And I look at my wife, when can we start killing them? That's the way everybody ought to be. When can we start killing them? You know, I hate to see these little kids get abused and see what these perverts are doing to them. And I think to myself, when can we start killing them? You know, if we would follow God's word, they would be put to death. Same with these rapists, same with these kidnappers, same with these child traffickers. All of this stuff. I mean, we could, you talk about, you know, enforcing the law. Let's do it. So in the case of rape or incest, you know, the innocent shouldn't die for the action of the guilty. Why not put that guilty party to death, let the child live, and put that child up for adoption? In the third case, we're in no position to play God. You ever read in the Bible that there was mothers that gave birth and died giving birth? They didn't take the baby and kill it, did they? We're in no position to determine who lives and who dies. And besides, you know, one of the attorney generals that spent 30 years in the medical profession said he never dealt in 30 years, never dealt in a case where their mother's life was endangered because of a child. Never in 30 years. So that's got to be very rare that would ever happen to begin with. You know why there's so many medical tests when women are pregnant? I remember when Connie was pregnant with our firstborn son. They wanted to do all these medical tests on the fetus. And I said, what do you want to do that for? They said, well, we want to make sure there's nothing wrong with that fetus. What if there is? Well, then you have an option. Ho, ho, an option. What are those options? Well, you can terminate it. Or you can go to full pregnancy. I said, you know what? You're not doing any medical tests on my wife, nor on the fetus. We will get what God gives us, and we'll be happy. Amen. Not doing it. I don't care. But that's why they do all those medical tests. And I wish God's people would just tell them, take those tests and forget about it. You're not doing it. Now, I'm not saying we didn't pray for a healthy baby, what we did. But we were willing to take home whatever baby God had given us. Terminating a pregnancy never crossed our mind because we didn't want anything to do with that abominable practice. I can think back to the time when Roe v. Wade was being debated. I was young. I was probably 10, 12, maybe 13 years old. And I thought, what? No. You got to be kidding me. People would actually do that? Nobody in their right mind thought that that was okay. I couldn't believe it. And then it got passed. And I'm thinking, how in the world, even as a young person, I wasn't a Christian, but I knew it was wrong. And I thought to myself, all you bums, you politicians, you Supreme Court, all you people who've argued for it, you all got blood on your hands. Now they're talking about post-birth abortions. Yeah, the former governor of Virginia. Now, he didn't volunteer to be post-aborted.
I would have helped
him. But here he is. He says, you can do it after birth. You can kill your baby after birth if you don't want it. And I've even heard women now saying, you know what? After they're 3-4 years old, if they're brats, you don't want them, you ought to be able to kill them. And I'm thinking, yeah, what if they're 70, Dennis?
Got to get them before they're too old to contribute.
But I'm thinking, this is where we've gone. I'm thinking, this is absolutely stunning. Whatever happened to our sense of morality? Why have we strayed so far from biblical norms? Well, I'll tell you one reason we strayed is because preachers remain silent on these issues. We've come to the point where evil is good and good is evil. We have gotten to the place where everyone does that which is right in their own eyes, and they become their own standard for morality. And if one stands on the truth of Scripture, they hear the voice of the majority shouting, "Who are you to judge?" Well, the Lord does say we are to judge righteous judgment. And in Proverbs 6, verse 16 through 19, he mentions six things that he hates. Turn, if you would, there. Notice what it says, and see if this don't ring your bell. Proverbs 6, verse 16 through 19. Here we read. Oh, verse 16. I'm like, okay. What? Okay, this thing, my pages stuck together. I was like, and then I was going to verse 6, go to the ant. I was like, that's not what I'm looking for. 16 through 19. These six things doth the Lord what?
Hate.
Hate. Did you see that?
Amen.
Now, how many think we should hate the same things God does? Raise your hand. All right, that's a good idea, don't you think? We should love what he loves and hate what he hates. Okay. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. That means he really despises it. A proud look. Ooh. A lying tongue. Did you see that? There's no such thing as a little lie. And hands that. Do you see that? I wonder what he thinks about these abortion doctors. I don't have to wonder. It says right here. They're abominable in his sight. An heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that what? Boy, he mentions lying twice. And he that soweth discord among the what? Among the brethren. You see, he hates the hands that shed innocent blood. You know, some of these abortion doctors become so calloused. It's amazing. Remember that guy named Gosnell from Philly? He said, man, I aborted some children. I swear they could walk to the bus station by themselves. Thought it was funny. I mean, how does a guy live like that with himself? Well, let's take a look at the issue of abortion and let's confirm the fact that life begins with conception. How hard is that to understand? There's no room for doubt about that. We read in the Bible in Psalm 139:13, in my mother's womb. When a woman starts talking about choosing to abort, she should have made a choice before conception whether or not she wanted a child. Are not to engage in that activity that would produce a child. Amen. The responsible position is before conception, but she is still responsible for that baby once it is conceived. Life begins when? At conception. And you know what? If that life wasn't terminated, it would go on. You know what? Every time, you know what happens? It comes out a baby human being. Every time! It is! In the first chapter of Jeremiah, God speaks to the prophet in verse 4. He says, then the word of the Lord came unto me. Now notice when it came unto him, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the what? Nations. So did God recognize Jeremiah before he came forth from his mother's womb? Yes, he did. Life begins at conception. Now, conception is a gift from God. You know, the ability to reproduce, to have a child, is a gift from God. Now, there are three ways people have entered into the human race. In the beginning, there was direct creation. God created Adam out of the dust of the ground. Amen. Breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a what? Living soul. Then after that, guess what? Every one of us came into the world through what we would call natural birth. But really, is it really just natural? No, it's a miraculous thing that God produces that each and every one were a part of when we came into this world. It's a miracle. And then, of course, you have the Lord Jesus, right? He came by the means of a virgin womb. But there's a fourth guy. His name was Joshua. He was the son of Nun. Is that Bible? Now, in Genesis 4:1, it says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the..." She didn't say, "I got that man from Adam." Hey, Adam, I got this boy from you. That's not what she said. Got it from who? The Lord. She recognized that child came from what? God. Listen to Psalm 127, verse 3. It says this: "Little children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Now, we must recognize that conception is a gift from God. So let us, as God's people, stand where God stands on the issue of abortion and be 100% opposed to it. You know, if a man's not going to preach the whole counsel of God because he fears the people more than he fears God, you know what? He doesn't belong in the ministry. He doesn't belong behind a pulpit. The Bible clearly teaches that the unborn child is a human being. They have every right to live. Life is precious. God made that little one in the womb. No one has the right to take it. You know something? I have noticed everyone that is pro-abortion in that crowd, every one of them has already been born. Now, they may be for death, but God is always for life. You know, we don't need to really wonder where God stands on this issue. Think your own children. Think about your grandchildren. You know, if you have grandchildren, you would have skipped having children altogether. Isn't that the truth? I know, but that's what you'd want. Think about how much you love to spend time with them. How much joy they bring into your life. How you get to hold them, you get to kiss them, you get to see their faces. You know, the other day I took my two grandsons out, we went to Walmart and bought them their birthday gifts. And you should have seen them two come out of there, weren't they, Jake, grinning from ear to ear. They just thought that this was the best day of their, best hour of their life. But, I mean, they wouldn't even put that stuff in a bag, would they? They marched out of there and they were like, like two little thieves. Because I didn't pay for it either. I thought, man, this is free shopping, isn't it? I mean, they can't arrest you unless it's $2,000 or something, right? Hey, it's okay. That's a law, isn't it? Yeah, it's legal. No. I paid for it. But you should have saw them. They were the happiest little guys you ever saw in your life. I mean, it made my day. But what if they weren't here? What if they decided to terminate those two little fellas? It would have been horrible. You get to see their smiles, their bright faces. You know, I don't understand how people can just terminate a baby. I just don't. I mean, that is unnatural and inhumane as it gets. As a nation, we're at a crossroads. Abortion is one sign of the moral ruin of our nation. You know, if you've ever been a praying Christian, now's the time to pray. Amen. If you're ever going to be a faithful Christian, now's the time to be faithful. If you're ever going to live a life for Christ, now's the time to live for Christ. It's amazing. Now, years ago, when I was in a church in Iowa. Anybody from Iowa? Okay, good. It's a good place to be far away from. What does it stand for? I didn't say that. You guys did. That's horrible. isn't it, Teresa? But anyways, I was in a church in Iowa, and the guy behind me was sobbing. And I'm like, what's his problem? You know, I'm thinking the sermon was preached and he's just bawling his eyes out. And so I turn around and I said, man, are you all right? No, I'm not all right. I said, well, what's the deal? I said, why are you sobbing like this? He says, before my wife and I got married, she got pregnant. And I took her to Planned Parenthood and I forced her to terminate that baby. He says, I've been guilty of murder. He says, I've never felt right ever since. Now, he became a Christian afterwards. And I said, well, let me tell you something. I said, you've been born again, right? He says, yeah. I said, God has forgiven you. He's forgiven you of that. You know, I turned to Ephesians 4:32, which says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I said, he's forgiven you of that. I said, you need to put it behind you. And I said, and if you haven't asked your wife to forgive you, you need to ask her for forgiveness. You also sinned against her. And you know what? He did as I had talked to him about. And thank God that that sin can be forgiven. Amen. Just like any others. Now, if you're a Christian and this is something in your past, let the past be past. You can't undo it. But you can be forgiven. And you can thank God for his forgiveness. And then take your stand on this issue where he does. You know? There's always going to be somebody that's going to perhaps ask this question. Take a stand where he does. Don't back down on it. Then do all you can to spread the life-giving gospel to others. Listen to some of these verses again. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the what? From the Lord. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, who are those with thee? And he said, the children which God hath graciously given thy servant. That's good, isn't it? Then it says in Psalm 127, verse 3, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. You know, children are precious. Amen. Amen. Let's be 100% pro-life all the time, in every instance. All right, we'll have some more in just about 5 minutes.